If you have your Bibles this morning and you turn to the Gospel of John. And as you're turning to the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. Now, I don't know if you just look at Easter as a time of, you know, buying stuff, celebrating candy, clothes, and family. And that's wonderful. Absolutely, that's wonderful. But I would like to encourage us to pray for that service. I mean, pray for that service. We're celebrating the greatest day in the life of the church. Because without Easter, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there would be absolutely no sense in us being here this morning. None. But He arose. He lives. And He's coming back. What a beautiful promise. So I encourage you to pray. And if the Holy Spirit leads you to just to do some fasting too, and that's up to you, and it's between you and God. Do some fasting for the service. And we pray that God will meet with His people and that we come with a sense of expectation of meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, John 13, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 9. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. And He came to Simon Peter and said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus said, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you'll never wash my feet." You imagine, Peter? You ever say no to God? No. Well, then Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you'll have no part with me." Boy, did he change his mind. "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Father, we thank you today for your presence in this place, your presence in our lives. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes our sin away. That you, according to your word, forgive all of our iniquities. You heal all of our diseases. What an awesome God you are. And you are so worthy of our praise, of our glory. You are so worthy of our worship. And now, Father God, we commit the sharing of your word to you. I ask for your anointing. I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I just want to, for a few moments, extract what Jesus did from these verses and highlight the thing that Jesus did. He did two things. First of all, he washed His disciples' feet. And Good Friday, we're going to do an observance, upper room observance, where we will be coming together to participate in a practice of the Brethren in Christ Church, washing one another's feet. Now, as I grew up in the Brethren in Christ Church, I can still see the emblem that represented our denomination of what we believed, our core beliefs. One was the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came, was crucified, buried, but He rose again. There was the dove, symbolic of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then there was the towel and the basin, signifying humility, signifying service, signifying love. And that is what Jesus did here in these verses. Philippians 2 says that Jesus humbled Himself and became as a servant. Jesus even said, I did not come to be served, but I come to serve. We just recognized, Brad recognized Kim Miller for his years of service. Not that he was made to do it, but he willingly did it. And that's what the washing of the saints' feet, brothers and sisters in Christ, we come together, and it's a worshipful service. It's an act of being a serving. It's an act of humbling ourselves to one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. That I am not better than you, but I can humble myself, and I am willing to wash your feet as an act of love, as an act of service. So that's what we will be doing on Good Friday, 6 o'clock, Upper Room Observance. Now I know that maybe some of you think, well, I physically maybe I can't do it, or maybe I'm not sure I want to do it. Maybe it's new to you. You're all invited to come and you to observe, but to be a part of that. And then you can make your own decision, but to come and be a part of that service and to honor and glorify what Jesus has been an example to us and that we've done for years and years and years. I understand that it hasn't been done for a couple of years because of certain things. COVID is one. We want to bring it back as a practice. And as well as, you know, we dedicate babies, we anoint the sick with oil as a practice in the church. We do that. We pray, lay hands on people to pray for the sick. That's a practice that we do. Foot washing is a practice that we do. So we all understand that? One person. But I'm not going to preach on that this morning. I want to preach on something else that Jesus did. If you go into that verse 1, and again, we can unpack several things from these verses, but I want to look at what he says at the end of verse 1. Jesus said, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus wanted to demonstrate the full extent of his love. The Amplified Bible says he loved them to the last and to the highest degree. He loved them to the highest degree. You've heard the old saying, actions speak louder than words. It's one thing to say, I love you. It's another thing then to demonstrate that. Husbands and wives, we tell each other, I love you. Do we show it? Do we demonstrate that? Parents tell your kids, I hope you do, I love you. Kids tell their parents, I love you. Is there things that we do that demonstrate that? Jesus did that. Jesus did things that demonstrated the full impact or his love to the highest degree. And he tells us many times in the Gospels that we are to exercise that same love one to another. If you go across in the same chapter in verse 35 or 34, it says, a new command I give you, love one another. Now we throw that word around sometimes pretty loosely. But he says, as I have loved you, we have to listen and think and see what Jesus is saying. As I have loved you, you must love one another. He doesn't say that you ought to or you should. He said you must love one another. And then he says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, that we belong to Jesus. If you love one another. And dear people, this morning, we have got to get this right. The church has to get this command, this word of the Lord Jesus Christ, right. We in this room, however many there are, we will never always agree on everything. Amen? Okay. But we must agree to disagree. But we should not ever let the things that we disagree on divide us. You have heard the saying, divide and conquer. That's the device of the devil. We have to get this thing together that you and I may not agree on everything, but there are some biblical truths that we must agree on. We must agree on what Jesus said. No matter what man, how he wants to interpret it, or what he wants to add to it, or detract from it, or take away from it, what Jesus said is what we believe, is what we will not bow to, we will not bend to, we will not alter our beliefs, that he is the only way to the Father. I don't care what other preachers say, Jesus said it, and he is the great preacher. He said, I am the only way. You can't come to the Father except you come through me. End of conversation. So we as a church have to get this right, because the world is watching. People is watching, or people are watching. And they say, well, they're no different than the world. So we have to be different. We don't look different, but we should act different. We should treat one another differently. We shouldn't hold grudges. We shouldn't be cold one minute and hot the next. Jesus wasn't. Amen? He wasn't. So, we are to love one another. In Jesus' life and ministry, he was fully engaged, fully committed, and fully determined. In John chapter 4, when Jesus had this interaction with the woman at the well, the disciples went on ahead. Jesus stayed. He addressed and had this interaction with the Samaritan woman. And he was talking with her, interacting with her. The disciples came back and they said, why are you talking to her? Why are you talking to the Samaritan woman? They brought food back to Jesus and they said, hey, you need to eat this. You need to keep up your strength. Jesus said, my food is to finish what I have been sent to do. My nourishment, the Message Bible says it pretty neatly. It says, what keeps me going is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. What keeps me going is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish what he sent me to do. Jesus was fully engaged and fully committed to do that. That's why he could say on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. The Bible is very clear in describing the very character of God, those qualities that distinguish him far and above every other God. Psalm 34:8 says, the Lord is good. Psalm 145:13 says, the Lord is faithful. And there are other scriptures that say God is faithful. God is kind. God is merciful. But 1 John 4:16 very simply says, God is love. His love is honest. His love is sincere. His love is genuine. It's not phony. It's not fake. It's far-reaching. It's never-ending. His love is not just an emotional feeling that comes and goes. God is not someone who would say to you, Joe, I love you. I really love you. And then some morning I get up and he'd say, Joe, we need to have a talk. I've been thinking, Joe, and I've fallen out of love with you. You will never hear that from God. You will never hear God say, I don't love you. Now, God might get a little upset with things we do, but he will never take his love from you. Paul says that. Nothing will separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. But it's not an emotional feeling. We feel in love. We feel out of love. I don't feel about you the way I used to. It's not this. It's not this roller coaster emotional feeling. God's love cannot be earned. You cannot check enough boxes to earn God's love. You cannot attend enough church services for God's love. You cannot do enough good, kind things to earn the love of God. God just is love, and God loves you. No matter how much you do, no matter how little you, God loves you. It cannot be lost. I can't walk too far away from God. God will let me walk, but His love, He'll never take from us. His love is not selective. His love is not for just the rich or the poor. It's not just for the short or the tall. It's not just for the white people or the black people. Remember that song? I remember a song that I was in Sunday school many years ago, and I can say many, many years ago. But it says, the song was simply, Jesus loves the little children of the world. Anybody remember that song? Okay. What's it say? Yellow, brown, yeah. What is it? Black, right. See? They are what? Precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He's not selective. His love is unfailing. His love is steadfast. His love is unchanging. His love is perfect. How can there be perfect love? It can only be given by the one who is perfect, God Himself. Songs have been written about God's love, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. My wife is an Elvis fan. Does everybody know who Elvis was? Now, Elvis isn't in Nashville, Tennessee. Okay, he's not there. He's not in the house. But she is an Elvis fan. Anybody else? You can raise your hand if you're an Elvis fan. We're not going to condemn you. Okay. Everybody know who Elvis was? There's not a whole lot of shaking going on anymore, but especially today. But Martha was listening to on her iPad about some Elvis songs. And, you know, I'm okay with some of them, but I'm not really a whatever. But the one song was, If That Isn't Love. And I guess the second verse of that song talks about when Jesus was on the cross, dying in pain beyond what you and I could ever imagine. And what happened? Two thieves, one on one side, one on the other. One mocked Him. The other one said, remember me in your kingdom. What did Jesus do? In pain, in agony, out of a heart of love, said, today you will be with me in paradise. You talk about an act of love. If that isn't love. Questions have been asked. If God loves me, why? Have you ever asked God that question? I've had people ask me that question. If God loves me, why did this happen? I don't know. But it comes down to trusting God. The question could be asked, could God really love me? You know, my life is a mess. I'm going back to the woman at the well. Her life was a mess. And I can just imagine in the conversation, she would have said to Jesus, do you know who I am? Jesus could have responded with the same question. Do you know who I am? She could have asked, do you know what I'm like? Jesus could have said, do you know what I'm like? And she could have asked a third question, do you know what I've done? And Jesus could have said, do you know what I've done? What I've done will wash away what you've done. So no matter how messy our life is, there is an answer. Have I gone too far? Have I done too much? No. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, Paul is writing and to the church at Ephesus, and he's praying. And this is the second prayer for this church. One is in chapter 1. This is the second prayer that Paul prays in verses 14 in chapter 3 of Ephesians. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of Christ." That verse 19, those words, that you may know this love that surpasses knowledge. We may never know it. We may never fully understand it, but may we know the love of God more. How long? It continues all the days of our lives. How deep? It reaches to the depths of our being, our discouragements, our despair. I was reminded of that old hymn we used to sing. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me out of my discouragements, my despair. Love can reach the very depths of our being. How wide? It reaches out to the whole world. How high? It reaches the heights of our celebration. So how did God show us the full extent of his love? I would like to present just a few to you. One, he came, he was born for you. Jesus Christ was born for you. He was born for one purpose, to die for you. We know what John 3:16 says, but verse 17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came. He was born once. Jesus Christ was born once so that you and I could be born twice. We see that in John chapter 3. A Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus went to Jesus, and he went to him at night. And he said, "Teacher, we know that you're from God, because nobody could do what the things you're doing unless God was with him." And Jesus didn't say, "Hey, you're right. You're absolutely right. I am everything you're saying." Jesus kind of turned the tables and he said, "Nicodemus, let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you one thing that you must know, that you need to know. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see, he cannot understand the kingdom of God." Well, that blew Nicodemus away. He said, "Well, God, you know, I am whatever. How is it possible for me to get back in my mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus said, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That is born of the Spirit. It's a physical rebirth, a spiritual rebirth, not a physical rebirth. There is a transformation takes place within us. The old is gone. All that is new. We belong to someone else. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from death to life. There's new life. Secondly, he came to show humanity a physical expression or representation of God. We read in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, that Jesus Christ is the express image of God the Father. Back in John 14, he told the disciples, "If you see me, you see the Father." I'm an exact copy. And Jesus said the same thing about the Holy Spirit. He says, "I'm going to send you another comforter. He's going to be just like me." That's what Jesus was saying. I'm just like the Father. There's no difference. But he came and to show and to share that God was touchable and approachable. That we can approach God. We can touch God. God wants to be a personal God and have a personal relationship with each one of us. a personal relationship with each one of us. That we could call on him 24/7, whatever, wherever, whenever we can. Thirdly, he gave his life so that you and I could have life and have it to its fullest. Have life to its fullest. Paul said it so beautifully back in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. I no longer live the way I used to. I have a new outlook. I have a new focus. I have new meaning. I have a new purpose. Nothing changed about me physically. Everything that changed was happened inside of me. And then he says, the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says he loved me and gave himself for me. And I read this, or I heard this statement, and it just... the statement is, Jesus chose to go to hell for you rather than go to heaven without you. Jesus would rather go to hell for you than to go to heaven without you. You talk about a love. You talk about love in action. God does not want anyone to go to hell. It's a choice. The question's been asked. Why does God send good people to hell? God doesn't send them. It's a choice they make. It's a choice I make. It's a choice you make. It's a choice that every individual makes. It's a personal decision whether to accept Christ or reject him. The provision has been made. Fourthly, he went to prepare a place for you. We know those words Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. Fifthly, he's coming back. His promise. That's a promise that Jesus made. I'm coming back for you so that you may spend eternity with him. That is an act of love right there. I'm coming back. And people, the way the world looks today, I don't know how long we have. But have you ever said unto Jesus, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus? How bad is it going to get? I have no idea. I have no idea. But we need to continue to look up. Years ago, there was a... radio broadcast. Ray Brubaker. Anybody ever remember Ray Brubaker? God's News Behind the News. Years ago. His focus, his goal, his purpose, be therefore ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. We don't know, but we must be ready. And then in John chapter 17... we find Jesus praying. And in this chapter 17, we find Jesus praying for three people, or three times. He's praying for himself. He's praying for his disciples. And thirdly, Jesus says that for all those who will believe in me, that's you and me. Jesus praying for you and me. And I have to think that if ever there was a prayer heard in heaven, it's Jesus himself praying for you and me. But the verse that really stands out to me is verse 23. And he says, Jesus speaking, I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me. Catch this, and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus is saying that they may come to know, may they come to understand that, God, you love them as much as you love me. This is Jesus. Dear people, today, God loves you. God loves you. He's demonstrated that love. He has truly demonstrated that love. God loves you as much as he loves his son. He wants to be a personal God with a personal relationship with each one of us. And if you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with him through Jesus Christ, you're at the right place at the right time. Because Jesus is here to meet with you if you would just come to Jesus. And if you want to come, I would glad to pray with you. Others would glad to pray with you. But don't leave without that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful for your presence here this morning. And Father, we just thank you for each one that is here, that one that may be struggling, that one who may think their life is a mess, they don't know where to turn. They've tried things, they've tried this, they've tried that. Nothing completely satisfies. Jesus, you're the one today that you are enough and that we need to lay our burdens down at your feet. And Jesus, today, that you would do a mighty work in our hearts today by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you today for your sweet, sweet presence here in this place. And we give you all the praise and glory, for it's in your name that we do pray. Amen and amen.
That story, that love, that deep love, we can't sing on it enough. It's going to go farther. We can't describe it enough. And friend, if you sense the Holy Spirit calling you this morning, you can know that love. You can experience that love firsthand. And like Joe said, he's been preaching the gospel all morning. Come to Jesus. Don't let another day pass by without coming to know him today. And if there is anything else that you want to have prayer for, if you're in your weak state, if you're experiencing something difficult right now, we would like to pray with you today. So if either of those things apply to you, like once again, over here this morning, out of the way of all the traffic, we have people that would love to pray with you, some pastors and some elders. Joe will welcome you over here. Don't let today go by without experiencing the love of God. And the rest of you, please go in peace and pray that the Lord's will be done in you this week.